I want to open up a scripture. I don't know whether we will have time to go through the entire scripture, but because we have the Lord's table today, but we'll just see where the Lord leads us with the scripture. Is that okay? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Happy to be partaking of the Lord's table? Amen. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 27 verse 15.
Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son.
Amen. I want to title the message, Dressed for a Blessing. Look at somebody and say, be dressed for a blessing. Dressed for a blessing. Dressed to kill. But this is a dress for the blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. When you look into the scriptures, or to anybody's life, there are three fears that normally ruin our relationships. Three fears. The problem started with Adam and Eve. They are the ones to blame for the fears that we have. Three fundamental fears which ruin relationships. It started with the first parents, and it always pops up in every kind of relationship. The first fear is what is called the fear of exposure. The fear of exposure makes me distant. When you look into your life, you find there are a lot of things about your life that you don't like. Anybody likes you? Do you like you? There are a lot of things in your life that you don't like. There are a lot of things in your life that you can't accept about yourself. And you're scared that others won't accept you if they know that areas of your life that you can't accept. So you keep a distance. You keep a distance because you don't want anybody to see your blemish. It happens. When you're courting somebody and wanting to get married, you show your best face. And then after marriage, suddenly the girl realizes, hey, there was another joker in this guy. Another face shows up. It basically stems from the fact that you feel if somebody knows who you really are, they might reject you. When you look into the scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that God came in the evening into the garden, and Adam and Eve were hiding, and they said, we were scared and we hid because we were naked. We did not want you to see our nakedness. We hid, Lord, because we didn't want to see you to see our weakness. I wonder what you're hiding. I was afraid, so I hid. I was naked, uncovered, vulnerable, out in the open. I was just there, out there, raw. Anybody could see through me. And I was scared, so I just hid. Everyone's deepest need is love. Are you with me this evening? We're going somewhere with this message. Everyone's deepest need is love, and what everybody fears the most is rejection. But there's good news. God doesn't reject us. Are you with me? He knows exactly who you are. You don't need to fake it. You don't need to pretend in His sight. You don't need to hide. You can be vulnerable and open before him and lay your life bare because he's seen you even before you were in your mother's womb. He knows a thought in your mind even before you think it. He knows who you are, what you've done, where you have been, the way that you walked, and he loves you and he cares about you and he's come seeking for you. And that is this Lord's table this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Adam and Eve, they hid and they covered themselves, they dressed up. They covered themselves with fig leaves. Fig leaves are not that big. I wonder how many fig leaves you will need to cover yourself. Some of you looking at your waistline, I think a whole lot of fig leaves will be needed. But they dressed up to hide. And I wonder, what are your fig leaves that you're hiding behind? There are some people who hide in relationships behind good humor. They have a life in the party, they can crack a joke, they can have everybody's attention, they're up there. But there's something that they're hiding. Hello. Some people hide it behind, you know, just acting as if everything, I mean, you just put everything together and you act as if you're strong. But you know who you are. And God knows. And in these recent times, I've noticed that I'm not much into internet, you know. But time and again, I see many people who have an online image. It is almost like picture perfect. And I wonder who they're fooling. Your Facebook image and your life, does it match up? People have a life in the social media and it looks like they have a perfect life. They cook the perfect bacon that day. Look, the photo is here. They got up and they had this image and it looks like they got up with their hair done. So sometimes you need to sit by yourself in your relationships and ask yourself this question: why am I afraid to tell you really who I am? And sometimes people fake it even before God. And this evening it's not a time to fake it because we are before the Lord's table. We don't have it all together. We come kind of religious up there and amen and praise the Lord. Who? How many of you know that God really knows you? God can really see through you and God loves you. You don't need to put up an act. God loves you. He cares about you. This table demonstrates that. Would you lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for that? The second fear, so don't dress up with fig leaves. Look at somebody and say, don't dress up with fig leaves. Sometimes people want to hide behind success, under money, under the family name. Past all that, what about you? The second fear is the fear of disapproval. Look at somebody and say, fear of disapproval. The fear of disapproval makes me defensive. You're scared of being disapproved. So you begin to point fingers at everybody. You either excuse or you accuse. You criticize everybody, can find fault with everybody. It's always somebody else's fault for your misery. You know why? Because you're scared of disapproval. It is always the other person who is wrong. God comes to Adam and Eve and God asked Adam, did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat? And Adam took it like a man. He blamed his wife. He said, the woman that you created, the woman that you gave me, Lord, made me go through this. Just accusing her, blaming her. And look at the 13th verse in the 3rd chapter of Genesis. God comes to Eve and says, did you eat? He says, the serpent made me. Some of you have to be grateful to the devil. You have somebody to blame. But healing only starts when you are open before Him. Are you with me? God approves of you. And I'll tell you why. The third fear is the fear of losing control. The fear of losing control makes me demanding. Here is Adam and Eve who were in a perfect world, in a perfect garden. Losing control of the garden, losing control of their destiny, losing control of their future. The more you feel out of control, the more you will want to be controlling. You will need to have a way all the time. So you begin to compete, you begin to fight. But how many of you know in relationships you are supposed to complement? You don't have a competitor in the church. Are you with me? Or in life. So what is the antidote for those fears? I'm bringing my point home. To come out of these fears, the antidote is love. Look at somebody say, the antidote is love. Look at somebody and say that the antidote, the medicine is love. Learn to live in God's love. Opposite of fear is love. Have you seen, sometimes you have heard testimonies of, you've read in newspapers, sometimes a building is burning. Everybody is scared to go into that building because the building is burning. But suddenly a woman will rush into that building. Why? Because a baby girl is inside that house. She will do anything to save her child. It's love. Love makes her to forget what others fear and rush in. Fear comes with the thought of punishment. If I am myself, will people love me? Will people approve of me? Will people reject me? Will people accept me? And sometimes that plays on into your relationship with God. So the antidote is to daily live in God's love. Three things about this love. The first one is, every day surrender your heart to God. Can you say that with me? Every day surrender your heart to God. Amen. Get close to God. Some would call it a personal prayer time, a quiet time where you can be yourself. You're not trying to fake it with the Lord also. Just being honest and saying, Lord, this is who I am. I come before you. I love you. I want to receive your love. I thank you for accepting me. I bring my heart to you, Lord. Flood my heart with your love. the more closer you get to God, the more further your fears will go. Have you seen people who are always nervous, anxious, worried, tense, you know, on the breaking point, always biting their nails, nervous, with a lot of nervous energy walking around? Somewhere in their heart, they are far. They might be religious, but they are far. Every day, remember the second point. God loves you. And that means God loves you. A. Point A. I am completely accepted. Look at somebody and say, I'm completely accepted. The deepest wounds in our lives are the ones that are caused by rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. But for you to realize you are accepted in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, I am accepted in the beloved. Sometimes you think, if I could just be perfect, everybody would like me. Anybody who ever thought like that? If I had the perfect looks, if I had the perfect character, if I had the perfect behavior, if I had the perfect family, if I had the perfect education, if I had the perfect friends, if I had the perfect spouse, if I had the perfect kind of financial stability, everybody would accept me. It's a myth. You look at Jesus, he was perfect, the only one who was perfect, and everybody hated him. But he was secure in his Father's love. Are you with me? Amen. Jesus was rejected by everyone. He was perfect. Nobody could find any fault in him. And he was rejected. Many a time we look at our approval ratings. You want to see how many people like the photo that you put on the Facebook. But to receive God's love means you've got to sit in the presence of the Lord and realize He's accepted me. I'm completely accepted the way I am. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, you're completely accepted in Jesus Christ. The second point is, I'm constantly and unconditionally loved by my Savior. I'm constantly and unconditionally. Many a time when we speak about the love of God, we speak about agape love, the unconditional love of God. How many of you know that God's love is unconditional? But how many of you ever realize God's love is not only unconditional, God's love is also consistent? We think God is like us, fickle-minded, having second thoughts whether he should have really called us. And so something bad happens to you, do something stupid, and then you begin to have this thought, oh my God, now will God ever use me again? You know the word in the Bible which says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. The word condemned means to be not operational. Condemned, that word means, you know, that building is condemned. It cannot be used again. That's what that word condemned means. And many a time when you do something stupid, when you fall, when you fail, when you think that you have not walked the way that God expects you to, the first thought that hits you is guilt. Guilt leads to shame. Shame leads to condemnation. And you begin to think, God can never use me. I don't think he will ever use me again. I don't think I'm usable by God. I think I just got to go through these motions, act as if I am spiritual. Another pastor will ask me where I was in the church. So I'll say, thank you, Lord. And you got this condemned look on your face. because the devil wants to make you feel miserable. But this evening I pray that lie of the enemy will be broken off from your hearts. You are not condemned. If God wanted to condemn you, he would have sent not his son, but he would have sent a condemner into this world. But God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not die but have life everlasting. He who believes in him is not condemned. Are you with me? If God wanted to condemn you, he would have sent a condemner from heaven. But this table signifies to you that God did not want to condemn you. He wanted to save you. So he sent you a savior. The savior of the world is born in the Bethlehem in the manger. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The worst thing that you can do to yourself is to condemn yourself. To have these words with your mouth saying, I don't think God can use me. I don't think anything good will come into my life. I don't think, oh my God, I don't think my child will be healed. I don't think my blessing will come. I think I'm messed up too much. You didn't catch God by surprise. Are you with me? I am unconditionally and consistently loved. He loves you. When you were in your mother's womb, when you thought you were the purest and the innocent, when you still hadn't a bad thought, I wonder some of you whether you had a bad thought in your mother's womb. The kind of condemnation and guilt that sometimes I see in your face, it looks like, oh boy, before I was born, I was a terrible sinner. All through your life, God has loved you. In due time, he revealed Jesus to you. You might have failed him 100 million times, but pick yourself up, come to the table of the Lord and partake of this table where you experience the forgiveness and the love and the mercy and the goodness of God, and go out of this house saying, I am not condemned. I am not out of use. God is still working on me. God can do marvelous things through my life. God has got marvelous plans through my life. I am available to God. Jesus is the best thing in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. The third thing about being in God's love means, it means understanding I'm totally forgiven. And the last point is, it means I'm extremely valuable to God. Would you look at somebody and say, you are extremely valuable to God? Would you say that? You are extremely valuable to God. Can I ask you, how much are you worth? How much are you worth? Put a price on your head. How much are you worth? Not your net worth. Don't speak about your assets and your black money that is put up in the Swiss bank. Don't say about all that. No, no. How much are you worth as a person? Just you. Without any of the gadgets that you hold in your hand. I'm not speaking about the iPhone in your hand or the iPad in your hand or the car that you drove in. Just you. Because you can't take all that to grave, can you? Recently, I saw a photo of somebody in China, I think, who wanted to drive his Rolls Royce Phantom into the grave. He wanted to be buried inside his Rolls Royce in the grave. So in the afterlife, he could drive through, no traffic. How much are you worth? The toothbrush that maybe somebody like John Lennon would have used might be $2,000 or $20,000 or $50,000, the toothbrush. But how much is your toothbrush worth? You can't even clean your dog's teeth with it. He will spit it out. Your worth is determined by who owns you. Are you with me? First Corinthians 7:23.
You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men.
You were bought with a price. Therefore, don't become slaves of men. You were bought. God is saying, you are mine. I bought you with a price, not with silver or gold. All the gold and the silver could not purchase your soul. So God sent his son who shed all of his blood for you. You have been purchased with his blood. That's what we are partaking of this evening. You're purchased. Remember that. Look at somebody and say in Rajinikanth's chant, remember that. Just remember that. Who owns you? Whose are you? Your worth is determined by what somebody is willing to pay for. Jesus paid for you. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7. It says there, love never fails. In other words, God will never fail you. You're accepted. He's paid for you. You are his. Love never. You need to underline that word, never. 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 Are you with me? So in relationships, the last point, God expects you to offer that same love to others. John 13, 34. Can we read that, please? The love that you receive from the Lord in your heart, God expects you to offer it to others.
A new commandment I give to you.
The new commandment I give to you.
That you love one another.
That you love one another.
As I have loved you.
As I have loved you. Did you notice that? Jesus said, you love one another. As I have loved you. In other words, I accepted you. I have completely forgiven you. I have not rejected you. I am not condemning you. I am not judging you. Now you do the same with each other. Sometimes you need to practice it. Are you with me? Husbands, you will have your share of learning to practice it with your wife. I was, just a joke, you know. A guy, let me remember that joke for a moment. Where'd the joke go? A guy was on the point of dying and he was in his deathbed. So he was writing his will. He called his wife, made her sit down. So I'm writing the will. I just want you to know how much I love you. So the house is in your name. Both the cars are in your name. We have about 10 acres of land. That is also in your name. All that I have in the bank, that is also in your name. I've written in the will here. But I also want you, after I'm dead, after you have grieved for me, 6 months after that, I want you to get married to the Rajiv and have a great future. You're a young wife. But you get married to Rajiv and go on with your life. And so the wife said, but he's your enemy, you don't like him. Exactly. I want him to experience what I've been going through. The love that you receive from the Lord, are you with me? Share it with somebody. Romans chapter 15 verse 7.
Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
Amen. What does it say there? What does it say there? Receive one another or accept one another, just as Christ has accepted you. with all your mistakes, with all your failures, with all your nakedness, if Jesus accepted you, accept one another. Love one another. Now the topic or the title of the message is Genesis 27. So I'm just going to close regarding the Lord's table. Dressed for a blessing. We know the story. Genesis 27. Are you with me this evening? Lift your hand and give me three good hallelujahs. One more. We know the story. Isaac had two sons, the first twins on planet Earth, Esau and Jacob. Esau was the firstborn, Jacob came second. Have you any time wondered why, when you study Genesis 27, why Isaac wanted to bless Esau? Because Esau is the firstborn. The firstborn receives the double portion. The firstborn is supposed to be the king in the house. And the firstborn is supposed to be consecrated to God to be a priest. But Rebekah wanted Jacob to have that blessing. And why? Father wants to bless one son. The mother wants to bless another son. Why? Because when Rebekah was carrying those two children in the womb, they were fighting in the womb. And so she began to pray. And she said, Lord, what is the struggle in my womb? Without any scan, the Lord said to her, there are twins in your womb. Two nations struggling in your womb. But the elder shall serve the younger. So she received a word from God. And she knew Jacob the younger was the one to be blessed. And so the scripture that you read, Rebekah dresses up. In her great love, she dresses up Jacob. I wonder how old Jacob would have been. Most probably about 28, 29 years old. Would you want your mother to dress you up when you're 29, 28 years old, Joel? I just want to, Esau is the firstborn. The blessing rightfully belonged to Esau. Jesus in the scripture is spoken as the firstborn. Every blessing that you're supposed to receive actually belongs to Jesus. Are you with me? Because he's the only one who is perfect before God. But the church's duty is to dress up the Jacobs, the second borns, with the dress of Esau. How many of you understood what I said? So that you might receive the blessing that Jesus has received from the Father. The Bible says three things. When Jacob came before the father, Malayalam Bible uses the word appen avane tappi noki. നിനക്ക് ഏസാവിനെ പോലെ മുടിയുണ്ടടാ, കയ്യിലൊക്കെ രോമമുണ്ട്. തപ്പി നോക്കി, checked him out, felt him. Genesis 27:16, the verse says, sparshichu, touch you nokki. When you come for a blessing, the Father in heaven in tottu nokku. Are you with me? Randa, the 22nd verse says in that same chapter, swaram nokki, checked his voice. The Jacob in ochiyano, Esau in ochiyano, checked his voice. സ്വരം നോക്കും അനുഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നതിന് മുമ്പേ. യു റിമെമ്പർ മാർക്ക് 14:70 says, when Peter denied the Lord, when Jesus was taken away, and when Peter was sitting with the servants, one of the women said, doesn't his voice sound like the voice of that Galilean? Even the swaram, യേശുവിന്റെ സ്വരം, ആ ഗലീലിയെന്ന് പറഞ്ഞ യേശുവിന്റെ സ്വരം പോലെയല്ലേ? Can you imagine that? Peter said, no, I don't know him. തൊട്ടു നോക്കും, സ്വരം നോക്കും, മണത്തു നോക്കും, സ്മെല് ചെയ്ത് നോക്കും. റേച്ചൽ, Rebecca, knowing this, dressed Jacob in the clothes and in the smell of the firstborn Esau. For every blessing in your life, you cannot come with your fig leaves. Are you with me? You cannot come before this table with your worthiness and with your righteousness and with your self-righteousness and with your strength and say, listen, I was good, I did this, I did. No, no, no. The Father in heaven will look. തൊട്ടു നോക്കും. തൊട്ടു നോക്കുമ്പോൾ ഇന്ന് പറയണം, കുഞ്ഞാടിന്റെ രക്തം, the blood of Jesus Christ, യേശുവിന്റെ രക്തം, hallelujah, is upon me. മണത്തു നോക്കും. When Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and offered a sacrifice, and God smelled the sacrifice. God smelled. In the tabernacle there is the altar of incense. God smells the worship. As a believer, when you come under the blood, God will smell the blood of Jesus on you. And when you come with your sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, God will smell that and say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I love you so much. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Your name might sound like a deceiver, but I'm going to bless you because you're covered in the clothes of my firstborn, my Savior, my son, God's begotten, only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he will check your voice. You know what that voice is? നമ്മുടെ വോയിസ് എന്താ? നമ്മുടെ സംസാരം എങ്ങനെയാ? എനിക്ക് മുന്നോട്ട് പോകാൻ പറ്റുമെന്ന് തോന്നില്ല, ഈ പ്രശ്നം മാറുമെന്ന് തോന്നില്ല, ഞാനൊരു അനുഗ്രഹം കാണുമെന്ന് തോന്നില്ല, ഇതൊന്നും സൗഖ്യമാകുമെന്ന് തോന്നില്ല. ദീസ് ആർ ആ വോയിസസ്. ബട്ട് ഗോഡ് ഈസ് ലുക്കിംഗ് ടു സീ, ഡസ് എനിബഡി ക്യാരി ദ വോയിസ് ഓഫ് ജീസസ്? വാട്ട് വാസ് ജീസസ് വോയിസ്? ഇറ്റ് വാസ് എ വോയിസ് ഓഫ് കമ്പാഷൻ, ഇറ്റ് വാസ് എ വോയിസ് ഓഫ് അതോറിറ്റി. He rebuked the sickness. He calmed the storm. This was a peaceful voice. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The master of the ship, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, could calm the storm with his voice. He just had to say, shh. He looked at the leper and said, be healed. And God looks to see for a blessing. As we come before the table, you offer not your righteousness, but say, Lord, I am accepted in you. I am covered in you. I'm clothed in you. Galatians 3:27 says, be clothed in Christ. That's baptism. Be clothed in Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14 says, put on Jesus Christ. Are you with me? When you come before the Father, you're saying, look at my garments. I am unworthy by myself, but I am worthy through the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Smell my offering of thanksgiving. Smell my praise. Smell my worship, Lord. I am here to worship you. And Lord, I have this confession of faith. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You will withhold no good thing from me. You open your mouth and begin to speak well over your life, and you are dressed for the blessing of God. Hallelujah. And God's blessing will come upon you. If you believe that, lift your hand and give a shout to Jesus this evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at somebody and say, dressed for the blessing. Dressed for the blessing. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Can I have the ushers come forward, please?